Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and thanks for joining us. Thank you very much for being part of our day. Joan Pride is our guest. She's back, ladies and gentlemen. Joan is back after 2 weeks' absence. And boy, howdy, did we miss her. Joan, we missed you. Did you miss me?
Desperately.
Yeah, I knew that. You're so happy to be back, you don't know what to do, right?
That's pretty much it.
Just
right.
Beside yourself. You were in one trip you made, you went to San Francisco, didn't you?
I did, and it was beautiful.
Did you leave
there.
Your heart there?
I certainly did. I wish I could go back soon.
It's a cool place. San Francisco
is
one of the coolest little
literally.
Places. It really is. No, it's nice. It's a really, really special city, and it's one of my favorite in the world. And that me and about 100 million other people, Joan.
Well, it felt like there were 100 million people there while I was there.
It can be. Yeah, I think the secret's out about San Francisco, don't you think
I'm afraid so.
Joan, today is American Business Women's Day.
That's nice.
So happy.
Every day should be American Business Women's Day.
But this is one that's set aside by Congress.
Wow.
So I just want you to know I'm celebrating, Joan, your contribution to the marketplace.
Well, thank you.
How about that?
I really appreciate it.
But do you have any comment on this other day? It's also Elephant Appreciation Day.
Well, I can certainly see the connection between the two.
Well, see, I wouldn't dare go there, but you can. Go ahead.
No, I'm not talking about size. I'm talking about memory.
Oh, well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yes. Women do have an elephantine memory.
Boy, howdy.
At least when it comes to, the men in their lives have done to or for them.
Do you remember when you did so-and-so? Right?
We never forget any of that.
You don't forget anything, do you?
You know that.
So maybe what you're saying is that it's not just a cruel irony that the Elephant Day and American Business Women's Day is on the same day. There is actually a practical connection. Is that what you're saying?
But I think somebody had a sense of humor when they put these two together.
I hope they did, and I hope I think that's the truth. Joan, let's get into the letter. And by the way, when's the anniversary? Is it this week or next week?
I think it's this week.
Okay. I was thinking it was the 27th
or
something.
Well, it could be.
Well, I think,
be getting that confused with Austin Kiplinger's birthday.
Yeah.
That's the other big anniversary.
Your editor emeritus. Yeah, I think that was recently. By the way, we're going to try to get Austin on the show next week. We're working on that. He's a great guy. He's a national treasure, ladies and gentlemen, Austin Kiplinger. Joan, fuel prices is on everybody's mind, aren't they?
Well, you know, it's something we really can't say enough about, and I know we keep coming back to this issue, but it's you know, this and interest rates, I would think, for your listeners are top two on their list right now.
Well, any small business owners who have vehicles on the road are just getting killed right now.
Absolutely.
Even if they have, the ones who are lucky, I guess you could say, are the ones who have in their contract with their customers some kind of an escalator clause for fuel increases. I actually know some people like that. You've actually spoken to some of those people, haven't you?
And I think we have mentioned that in a letter previously,
mm-hmm.
Right?
That's a good thing to have, but you know, a lot of people don't have that. A lot of people have vehicles on the trucks, but their customers they don't have a contract with their customers where they can actually put something like that in there.
Right.
So their customers see prices going up and it offends them, you know, and so they lose a customer maybe.
That's right.
So there's a lot of pressure on profits right now because of fuel prices.
And one of the problems here is we're getting hit by unforeseen events. You know, we've got yet another hurricane about to smash into
Texas.
The Gulf of now it's going to be Texas, I guess. Probably not Louisiana, although if it takes a little bit of a right turn, New Orleans could get badly hit.
I think the hurricane god says, wait a minute, we missed Texas. How do we do that? Let's send another one down there and get Texas this time.
So, of course, you've got oil rigs and refineries that are battening down the hatches for this, and oil prices, of course, are going up yet again. Although, strangely enough, the gas station near me, the price has dropped a little bit in the last few days.
Yeah, I've seen that, too. But, you know, Joan, there's another thing to think about. Never mind gasoline. That's bad enough. But all over the Houston area, there are lots of chemical plants that use petroleum to make chemicals, different things that we use in our daily lives, and those plants are being shut down right now.
That's right.
So this is creeping as we're going to get into some of these issues, some of these other issues in a little bit as we get into the letter. But I mean, there's all kinds of examples that these hurricanes are of where these hurricanes are impacting the performance of the economy.
And we'll have a much better read on that by the time we talk next week, because I guess Rita will make landfall over the weekend.
Over the weekend, right. Yep.
So all we can do now is wait.
Mm-hmm. And I also feel like that, you know, maybe the hurricane gods are maybe have it against Kiplinger, because the hurricanes always hit like the day after you publish, right?
Yeah, that's so unfair.
That's not fair.
They need to change their schedule.
Joan, one of the things, though, you guys talk about on the front page this week, on page one, are some things that we can do to save energy. Talk to us
right.
about some of those.
And the first one we talk about right out of the box is conservation, and, you know, really doing a thorough review of how you use energy. And I realize that you do have listeners out there who are forced to use a certain amount of energy, whether their business involves a lot of, say, traveling, driving, things like that. But we still think that there are different things that you can do in order to at least save some money here.
Well, over the last 20 years or so, we've kind of gotten lazy, haven't we? I mean, obviously, all businesses want to find efficiencies. No business wants to pay too much for electricity and natural gas and all that sort of thing. But we've kind of been lulled into a little false sense of security because the prices haven't been all that high. But now what's happening is in the last couple of years, we've just had these spikes. And so now people are paying more attention to energy-efficient equipment, aren't they?
That's right, exactly, and that's pretty important right now.
Well, one of the things you guys point out is that there are, you and I have talked and others have talked a lot about the technology that's out there that's improving our lives in so many different levels, but there also is a lot of energy saving, energy efficiency technology that can be applied to these machines that cause them to operate more efficiently, don't they?
Right, and I think one of the points being made here, as you say, is that you need to invest in some of this technology. And I realize that your listeners might be saying, wait a minute, we're already getting killed on prices right now. Mm-hmm. You expect us to, where are we going to find the money to spend on this? And I realize that may be difficult, but if it is possible to make these investments, you'll reap the rewards over time.
Well, and the payback period. Anytime somebody makes a call on you with anything that's has a cost savings, they're trying to, you know, convince you to make an upgrade or improvement, whether it be energy or otherwise, there's always this payback period line, that item. And in the past, in terms of energy, those numbers haven't been that attractive, and they are starting to be. And we'll talk some more about that right after these messages. It's almost 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Joan Pride. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, we're talking about how to save money, how to operate our businesses, our machinery, our vehicles more efficiently. And one of the things that you guys point out is that with all the new technology out there, that in the letter this week on the front page there, with all the
right.
new technology, that it actually is, this is something, so the new technology is something that we probably ought to be paying more attention to. You know, Joan, I was mentioning the payback period. I've done a lot of proposals in my life, and I remember when I was in the equipment business many, many years ago, we'd actually, you know, we had a line for a payback period, and you would calculate the savings that they would make by you know converting to your products, and you know, but there was always an investment. They usually had to spend more money, and so then you would calculate, okay, within 18 months you that's when your payback period is, and then you'd have the equipment for another 10 years or whatever. But with energy prices relatively low up until a couple of years ago, it was hard to get that payback period into an attractive number.
Well, that's interesting.
And see, but now two things I think may be happening. Number one, the technology is getting better, and the alternative price, the alternative fuel prices are going higher. So there's sort of a convergence there that's making the payback period for these this new technology is making the payback period a lot shorter. And so it's making that line, at least, maybe not the investment line, but it's making the payback line on the proposal look a lot more attractive.
Well, that sure is what people need now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And also, another thing you guys point out is the possibility of negotiating contracts with your energy supplier that actually fit your usage a lot more. You talk about interruptible contracts for electricity, for example.
Right, and...
Natural gas.
Right, exactly. And we're saying, as you point out, that you could get, you know, some big discounts, and but you have to remember to have a backup power system if you're willing to go sort of into this interruptible kind of situation.
Well, exactly. But and the thing is, but most small business owners, the truth is, most small businesses don't have that kind of usage. You know, they don't have the most small businesses are not manufacturing. They're you know, the typical small business doesn't have a lot of vehicles on the road, and so the best thing to do is just to hunker down and try to operate more efficiently. One of the things that I encourage people to do is to relook at your route schedules to make sure that you aren't covering the same road unnecessarily twice.
Right.
Also, you may have to train your customers, Joan. If they've been used to daily deliveries, and you've been saying, you know, yeah, we have excellent service. We bring it out when you need it. Maybe you could go to them and say, okay, look, could we plan this where we only bring it to you twice a week instead of five times a week?
Well, or maybe you offer them a two-tier pricing system. Maybe if they insist on more frequent delivery, they have to pay for it.
Exactly. But I really do believe, Joan, that in today's world, If you go, you know, mano a mano, so to speak, you go into the office of the decision maker and sit down with them. You're a decision maker, they're a decision maker, and you say, look, we want to conserve fuel for the national reasons, but also to help us, you know, remain as viable as possible. And just say this, will you help us conserve our energy so we don't have to raise prices if unnecessarily?
Right, and I think that's going to ring some bells there with people, and they're going to understand.
You know
what
why?
To do.
Because the person you're calling on has just had that meeting with their customers.
Exactly. They're doing the exact same thing.
I promise you it's happening, folks. I wrote an article about 6 months ago about this, and or maybe more than that, encouraging people to take these steps. And by the way, you can find that article on the website at smallbusinessadvocate.com if you
want to. Well, and if you're a good and faithful supplier to a company, it's in their own best interest to help you stay viable.
Absolutely. But I really think if you go there, you know, and just sit down with them and say, and don't, you know, maybe you don't have all the answers. Maybe you don't go there with all the answers. Just say, you know, obviously you need to take some ideas, take some thoughts. So, you know, as I said, maybe instead of 5 day delivery, you get 2 day delivery. And all that means is your customer has to plan a little bit, think a little bit ahead, Joan, about, you know, okay, we need this on Wednesday, but we know it on Monday.
Right.
We know what we need on Wednesday, on Monday, so deliver it to us on Tuesday.
That's right.
And so just a little bit of thinking along those lines, I think that'll...
And it may be just something, and I'm sure a lot of companies go through this, there's a lot that you have to deal with. It may be something you haven't focused on and you could look at and say, well, sure, you know, we could reduce a number of times you come to us each week. It hadn't occurred to us, but it's something that's doable.
Well, and you know something else, Joan, and I always like doing this, is going to your customers and asking them for advice. And maybe you even say, you know, you guys are bigger than us and you got a lot more brain power than we do. What are some things that you guys have learned about fuel efficiency, about maximizing your resources? Have you got any suggestions that would help me and my little company so we can serve you better?
Right.
Make sure you stick that last part in there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
But, these are all things that you got to do. And Joan, when we come back, we're going to talk about something that's pretty interesting, this new liquefied gas issue, the liquefied natural gas, I should say. That's a whole new thing that's a little bit controversial. And then we're going to move on and talk about some other things. And we'll do that right after these messages. Joan Pride will be back with us, too.
This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble. That's what Joan likes about me. Right, Joan?
Excuse me?
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editor. She and I are talking about the Kiplinger letter, this week's Kiplinger letter, and we're talking about fuel primarily. And you know, Joan, when this copy was written, when this edition was written, Rita was just a mere shadow of herself, wasn't she? Of her current self, wasn't
yes,
she?
Yes, Rita has intensified dramatically since last Friday.
Have you been amazed at how? I feel like the last two hurricanes, Katrina and Rita, were like Ferraris or something. They went from 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds.
Well, the statistic I read today in the paper, I don't know, I think they said that the U.S. has never been hit this quickly, or at least the Gulf area, by a Category 4 and a Category 5 in the snow. I think the U.S. has never been hit by those two in the same season.
In the same year, that's exactly right.
Same season,
And these two, Katrina and Rita, appropriately ladies' names, was there a guy in there in the middle? Weren't they supposed to alternate? What happened to the guy
storm?
Yeah,
how come they're always women? I mean,
well,
Andrew
no, they're,
was
they're
the
guys.
Last
no,
man
they name
that did
they name guy
damage.
Storms. They alternate.
Yeah.
But I didn't see the guy's name. I don't remember it. But anyway, the thing is yeah. Jace was telling me that's the one that hit the East Coast and went out to sea out there.
Oh.
See, the guys are so much less painful.
All right,
but anyway,
let's not go there.
These are two, Katrina and Rita, apparently, are two of the top three worst storms ever, and they're both hitting the United States in less than a month's time.
Right.
How about that?
It's pretty scary.
What about liquefied natural gas? That's a little scary, too, isn't it, Joan?
Well, I certainly think it is, but what we're talking about here is that we're going to be building import terminals to bring it in.
Most people think natural gas is like a gas. I mean, wouldn't you think that intuitively natural gas would be a gas?
Well, yeah, isn't it kind of an oxymoron to talk about liquefied natural gas?
Exactly.
And isn't it like natural liquid?
Mm-hmm, exactly. So what's the deal? What's the advantage of liquefying natural gas?
Well, I think isn't transporting it easier?
You can't transport it from Russia, where they have lots of natural gas, to the U.S., for example, unless you build a pipeline across the Bering Strait, or unless you figure out how to liquefy it.
Right. That's it.
So I guess that compresses, that condenses it, and makes it into a form where it makes it economically feasible to transport it.
Yeah, now, see, this is why you're the energy expert and I'm not.
Yeah, buddy, we're in big trouble if I'm the energy
Remember,
expert.
Remember, I'm the currency expert. You're the
No, that's right.
Expert.
You're the currency exchange expert.
Right.
But now, why is it that now, that is it because the technology has made liquefying natural gas more feasible, or is it because prices are getting, we're running out of it in other places, and we're trying to do this so that we're liquefying natural gas so that we can transport it from wherever it is to wherever it's needed?
Well, don't you think it's both? I think
probably
that the need is there, but if you didn't have, I don't think the technology's always been there.
Yeah. So that's an area, folks. And by the way, Joan, if you look over at your numbers for your forecast on page 1.
Oh, you mean on page 1?
Yeah, that's a
great.
You
know, I was kind of disappointed you didn't explain to our listeners how nifty this one looks.
It is a nifty one. I've never seen one like this before. It may be the coolest one I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But you just give me time, Joan.
we don't have a lot more time in this hour, you know.
Natural gas, according to Kiplinger, is going to go to 12.5 per million BTU. From 11.25 now to 12.5 per million BTU next year, but by the middle of next year, you guys say it may drop down to 9.5.
Yeah, this is an interesting graphic because you kind of get the bad news and then the good news after it. I mean, except for crude oil, but just about everything else it looks a little bit more palatable than things are right now.
But anyway, I use natural gas, but I don't keep up with how it's priced all that much. But I can see where liquefying natural gas would at least make whatever stores we have, whatever reserves we have around the world. I can see where liquefying natural gas may not be as big a deal today, but it probably will be in, say, 10 or 20 years.
Yeah.
I can see how that would be a big deal.
Right.
Joan, when we come back, we're going to touch on some of the woes of the air carriers. You know, Northwest and Delta went into bankruptcy this last week. Two of the legacy carriers.
And maybe more to come. We don't know.
Went into Chapter 11. Exactly right. We're going to talk about some of their woes. We're going to move over into politics and see what the hurricanes are doing to politics these days. It's having some effect. And we're going to talk about all those things after these messages with our good friend, Joan Price, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Stay with us. Little Steely Dan for you. Welcome back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to check it out. You know, Joan Pride is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, and Joan, we've had two record days on our website. Things are just going nuts.
No kidding.
I'm so excited about people using our website to help them grow their businesses and start their businesses and all the great comments that we get back. It's really exciting to see that happening and I want to thank you for contributing to that.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Now, your website, Kiplinger.com, is a good one, too, folks. I encourage you to go there. And you can also find out more about Kiplinger's publications. And, you know that they're good if they're about to go into their 83rd year. I think it's right, isn't it, Joan? It's the 82nd anniversary?
I think
right?
so, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know it's good stuff if they have been around that long and have maintained, been able to stay in business. And so Kiplinger.com, Kiplinger.com, is the website. You can get a lot of free stuff there, but there's also some stuff in the back if you want to subscribe to their forecast subscription, which is also what will get you to the part where you can subscribe to their publications, the weekly Kiplinger letter that we work off of, Joan. And then there's a magazine, too, isn't there?
You betcha. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And you can get that at newsstands. You can also get that on their website. You can subscribe to it there. And then there are those three magazines. What do they call, Joan? What are those magazines? I don't mean the three bi-weekly letters.
Well, we call the special letters. There's
the special letters.
Tax letter, which I work for, and then also the agriculture letter and the California letter.
Yeah, those come out every other week. And so you can find all those there. And is that 30-day free trial still available, Joan?
You mean the Blassingame free trial?
The Jim Blassingame 30-day free trial.
I'm not sure if we still call it that, but I'm sure you can get something.
Folks, I hope you'll check it out. They're really good stuff, and you'll be able to, and see if you do, if you subscribe to the main letter, you'll be able to follow along with me and Joan as we talk about the letter. Joan, let's move over and talk about the air carriers, Northwest and Delta, two of the legacy carriers, maybe the last of the legacy carriers. Maybe American hasn't gone into bankruptcy, but no, it did actually, didn't it? Didn't
I was going to say not recently, no.
No, but it had, I think. But anyway, Northwest and Delta now are in bankruptcy, along with United, along with U.S. Air, which has actually been in and out twice, or in twice and out once, and maybe still in, I think.
And by legacy, we mean the carriers that operated before, quote-unquote, deregulation
exactly.
hit a few years ago. And you've got the other so-called upstarts, such as JetBlue, Southwest, Independence Air, that have sprung up since then.
And legacy is such a warm, fuzzy name.
It really doesn't
apply when it comes to air carriers.
No, not one bit.
Or even telecom companies, probably. But with the air carriers, legacy means high payroll costs, high benefit costs, high infrastructure costs that are really uncompetitive right now, aren't they?
And yeah, and it's interesting. When I went to San Francisco, I flew one of the upstarts, and I was very impressed by the way I was treated. And
which one did you fly?
Just, Independence Air.
Yeah,
which
they
sadly
do?
Enough is in financial trouble, I believe.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I had plenty of room. They got us on and off the plane very efficiently. Mm-hmm. It was a very good experience.
Yeah. In fact, you guys report this week that maybe Independence might be stumbling.
Right. And I mean, I think it's had financial problems for a while now. And so, and I know that the mainstream press has been reporting that it could be filing for bankruptcy protection at some point. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to go out of business, but
right.
You still have to know that there are problems there.
Chapter 11 is a dangerous place to be, but it is an alternative to shutting down. And,
right.
And sometimes it's possible. It is possible to emerge from Chapter 11 on the other side, but not without a lot of bloodletting, a lot of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and which comes in the form of a lot of employees having to make some concessions. So that's what's
right.
Happening at the airlines. And Joan, the fuel prices are not helping them any, are they?
Oh, not one bit. This couldn't come at a worse time.
They've had a really tough decade so far. The airlines have. Joan, let's move over and talk about politics. Isn't it interesting how Mother Nature kind of gets in and mucks up with politics?
That's right.
I mean, if you think about it,
what would the political landscape be like if Katrina had not hit? That would be an interesting question to ask.
Who would have thought that anybody would have compared George W. Bush with LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, President Johnson?
Know. We like to push the envelope here.
You sure did. Well, you're not the only ones to do this, though. I mean,
true.
I mean, some of the stuff that President Bush is talking about right now in the Katrina recovery, and maybe now the Rita recovery, they're sounding awfully much like the Great Society stuff that LBJ did.
Right. He's been very explicit in his call to work on the problems of poverty and racism that have sort of been amplified by the whole Katrina situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it did, didn't it? The Katrina shined a light on a whole segment of our population that have just been passed over. We've got to do something about those folks, don't we, Joan?
Well, right. And I can't tell you the number of people who said to me, "Why didn't they all just leave?" And I said, "Well, maybe they couldn't."
Well, they could walk out, but a lot of them can't walk out, and of course, a lot of them were in denial. They thought that they'd be fine, but it did point out how many people we have who literally have very little means to take care of themselves, and they're basically wards of the state in a lot of ways, and the state didn't do a very good job of warding them, did they?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it is.
So that's what happened. And I think, you know, so maybe there are some blessings that come from all this mayhem, Joan. That's what humans do, don't we? After something like this happened, we try to find the blessing in them, don't we?
And the lesson, too.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe short-term, this has been a devastating blow. Long-term, maybe it'll be a good thing. Tint Hill, we're going to be right back. We got more to come with Joan Pride after these messages. Stay with us. The late, great Marvin Gaye, ladies and gentlemen.
And I've been doggone if I wouldn't bring him my pain.
I'm Jim Blassingame.
Baby,
maybe never great, hopefully not late. Glad to be here with you, as always. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, you often hear from your readers, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they give you good they tell you good things, don't they?
You're setting me up for something.
No,
you
tell me all the time that you hear from your readers and that they have things to say and that they tell you that they like what you read and all that kind of stuff, don't they?
What's your point, Jim?
I just wondered. I mean, I thought you might want to just comment on that. I think that's good information for the audience to know, don't you?
You mean such as someone is developing a video conferencing system for a sick relative?
Oh, I don't know. Is that one?
Well, this individual is actually...
You're not going to throw me a bone, are you, Joan?
No, I'll throw you a bone. This person was actually a source of mine for a story I wrote
right.
about taking care of elderly people from long distance if your
right.
relative lives far away.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this really cool thing that's like a video conferencing system you can use. And
which you're interested in because you'd like to think about it for working with your own mother, right?
Right, exactly. But we were emailing back and forth, and I had the shock of my life when he sent me an email talking about himself. I asked him, you know, how he defines himself. He said he's a technologist having fun, and he says he has all the entrepreneurial characteristics that Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, identifies. And I thought, this guy, I can't get away from this guy. And this individual that emailed me had no idea that I even knew you.
Well, Joan, you know.
But I guess he also thinks that you're so famous that I would read the reference to you and know who you were.
You didn't get the smart part either? Don't you think?
No, I didn't get that at all.
That's a great story. Thank you for sharing that with us, Joan. Joan, let's talk about the Democrats. How are they going to respond? How are they responding to all this Katrina Great Society stuff? They can't let the Republicans get ahead of them on this, can they?
Well, no, and that's why we say they're pushing for a stronger national social safety net, and that means like worker training, housing, and all sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, isn't this going to be funny? But it's going to be funny to watch. But, Joan, it's not going to be funny to pay for.
I was going to say, it's not going to be pretty. And that whole paying for issue is going to be huge for the Republicans.
It frightens me when I think about this, Joan, because...
Well, it should.
Well, here's the thing. Let's overlay what happened about 10 years ago with what's happening right now. About 10 years ago, Joan, I think 10 years ago this month, the U.S. government passed the welfare reform law.
Right.
And look at how many more people that made available to the marketplace to work. Look at how many people were brought up out of poverty to work and to become, you know, to claim part of the American dream.
Right. And that legislation wasn't even signed by a Republican.
Exactly. That's right. It was signed by a Democrat. But the thing is that this sounds to me like it could possibly turn into the opposite of that. More entitlements, less responsibility, less working and having responsibility, and more entitlements. That'll be the key that we'll have to watch for.
Right, because you have a president who says, you know, we shouldn't worry about the price tag.
Right, exactly. It really frightens me when he says things like that. I can't believe a Republican would say that. And Joan, the thing is that if part of the plan is to get these folks out of poverty and into productivity, then that'll be, remember that payback period we talked about earlier when we were talking about the energy efficient equipment?
Yeah.
That we'll have one of those. But if it talks more about entitlements and more about, you know, guilt, having all this guilt because these people are like this and we don't learn anything from what's happened, then I think there won't be a payback period it'll be a negative payback period. It'll be an expense instead of an investment.
Well, that is a concern, definitely.
And that's what frightens me about this whole thing, Joan. But from a spectator sport standpoint, it will be interesting, won't it, to see the Democrats and Republicans.
Oh, sure. As a reporter with no ethics or values, I'm enjoying it. Yeah.
I would never have said anything like that, Joan. I would never.
Well, that was kind of a redundant thing to say. Reporter with no ethics or values.
Joan, we've got about 30 seconds.
Oh no.
Katrina's impact on inflation. You guys talk about that this week. And you say that inflation will be the highest in 15 years for 2005.
Which kind of stuns me, but you have to remember, over the last 15 years, inflation really wasn't that high.
That's right.
So even 3.5%, which we say is coming, isn't going to destroy the economy.
Right. But it's obviously what the Fed was looking at when they raised rates again this week.
Exactly.
They were
exactly.
more concerned about inflation, long-term inflation, than they were about the short-term impact.
Well, the rising
of the
price of oil hits both ways. You know, it
That's
hits
right.
inflation, but it can also hit economic growth. So,
right.
you know, you don't want to see stagflation occur.
Absolutely. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Welcome back.
Jim. Thank you.
And keep all those cards and letters coming in.
I sure will.
See you, Joan. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back next week. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program really is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.